So we are proceeding to verse number 10. And we understood that these verses are actually describing further, giving further indications how to practice this art of Raganuga Bhakti, how to rise for very advanced devotees, and how to rise to higher and higher levels of perception of the spiritual reality. So in verse 9, we heard about Tishtram Vraja, residence in Braj. What is Braj? There was a whole description. What is Braj? That place which is superior to Vaikuntha, full of sweetness, where the Lord has appeared. And within that area of Braj, there are various places, the topmost one being the banks of Radha and Radha itself. Okay, and so let us read verse 10. Kaniya parita kare priyataya vyakriya yogyana te kyoya vipungamati parama premaika nishtha sada te vyasa So like the first verse, ends with the question. The first one was like first question. Sevam vivekina ka. Sevam vivekina ka. Who then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine radical situated as a true devotee? Here. A similar type of question would be here. Yeah.
Why is this?
There's a problem with the sound?
Yes. It's not being
weird. Sound is not good. Now it's good? Okay. Somebody can look into the sound? There was some kind of strange sound, so I told him to do something. Are you on? Yes, it's better? Okay. So there will be the same question here. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund? So let us see here what is the topic. What is the topic here? On one hand, it will be explained why Radha Kund has been pointed out as the supreme place. Something more information than was given in the previous verse. Radha Kund was identified as the topmost place. I think we're good ones. And so why? Why is that? So what are we going to discover in this world? Why is it that Radha Kund is the topmost place? And the reason would be because it is the place of the topmost devotee. That's why it's the topmost place. And at the same time, if you remember, again, verse 8, Tishtan Vraje Tadanuragi Tishtan Vraje Tadanuragi Jananugami, which is one has to follow up in the footsteps of the eternal residence of Raj. So, in this verse, who we have to follow in the footstep of is also explained. In whose footsteps we have to follow? Because we're supposed to reside in Raj and follow in the footsteps of the most exalted devotees. So who are they? So this is revealed in this verse here. Why Radha Kund is so exalted? And who are those exalted devotees that we should follow in the footsteps of? So just as there was a hierarchy of places, Now we are in verse 9. Now we are going to read a hierarchy of personalities, types of persons. Let us read the translation. In the Shastra, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanas, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of God, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental power of God. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharam is the most dear to Krishna. Kakundi Lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrita bhava, render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their ashtakali lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So what is the hierarchy here that we hear? What is the hierarchy? Srimati Radhari, where is she on the hierarchy? She's at the top. And who is it on the lower rank? The Gyanis at the lower the Karmis. And? Who else? The big Karmis. Prabhupada said there are two kinds of Karmis. The Karmis and the big Karmis. Both are Karmis. And fruitive workers. One big Karmis means they are whimsically trying to gratify their senses without any reference to the regulations of Shastra. Right? And their senses are completely going wild. They are whimsical. No regulation. And then they are usually called sinners because their senses take them overboard, beyond their quotas. So, and then the Karmis. Karmis are the fruiting workers, pious people. They understood by committing sin you will suffer. So we should enjoy without committing sin. And this is means follow the rules and regulations of the Shastra. How to enjoy without committing sin. It's a bit tedious, but it's safer than the karma. And out of all these karmis, Prabhupada says, what is this? Out of all the karmis, one who is advanced in knowledge. So who could that be? Jnanis. It's more something like the Nishka, one who is advanced in knowledge, is one who is a karma yogi. He is advanced in knowledge. So in the verse itself, it goes from karmi to jnani. The prophet takes us well. He said it starts with the karmi, then there is the karmi, then there is a karma yogi who has some knowledge. He understood that there is a God in control and you should make him the goal of life. And then there is the jnani, the one who actually, what is a jnani? Advanced in knowledge, what knowledge? What? Yeah, this is the point of the jnani. The jnani is not just an intellectual, he may be an intellectual in the beginning, but he is someone who has distinguished between matter and spirit. Jnanis usually have this realization. The Karmis do not have. Karmis is I am this body. But the Jnanis is I am not this body. But what I am? That I don't know. Aham Brahmasmi. I am spirit. But the knowledge doesn't go further than that. So Prabhupada said this is not positive knowledge. It's some kind of knowledge. It is knowledge. And it is very praiseworthy. And a jnani is much more elevated than a karmi. Because the destination of the karmi is rotating within the coconut. Do you remember? The coconut in Ishopalishan, there is a coconut. So the karmis, they go up and down inside the coconut. Cannot go out. What is the coconut? It's the Brahmanda, the universe. But the jnanis, they can come out of the coconut. But where do they go? They go to the Brahmajyoti. So the jnanis are much more. He says he's practically liberated because he has that knowledge. And the jnani is free from material desires, gross material desires for self-gratification. He has purified the mind to a great extent. However, he's not the highest person. Who is higher than him? One who takes to devotional service. So, there also, according to the Bhagavad Gita, you go from Jnana to something which could be Jnana Mishra Bhakti. You start practicing some activity of devotional service, but you are still attached to the practice of knowledge. And ultimately, one who takes to Krishna Bhakti, he becomes a devotee. So higher than the Jnani is the devotee. Yes, Srila Mahaprabhu?
He accepting some of the form. He was sitting in that form. But Jnani, he doesn't accept the form. He only retaining the moment. How the Jnani higher than this?
How the Jnani?
Higher than this term for the world.
Well, he's higher in the sense that he's theoretically higher. You know very well in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not advise to take up Jnana Yoga. But here you talk not of Jnana Yoga, you're talking of a Jnani. A Karmi is a fruity worker. He is identified with the material body. So the Nishkam Karma Yogi, he has sufficient knowledge, but he is still identified with the material body. Even though his goal may be transcendental, but he's still identified with the material body. Whereas the Jnani is not identified with the material body. This is the characteristic. So the Jnani is higher than the Karmi. His next step is to become a jnani. I'm not saying jnana yogi, I'm saying he has to become a jnani. The next step is to understand that I am not this body. And from that point of view, the path which is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita is when the karma yogi comes to the point of jnana, he becomes a jnani, then he should not take jnana mark of jnana yoga. But he should take Ashtanga. Because, again, in the Karma Yoga, there is the sense of Vishnu. There is understanding of Yajna, Vishnu. Whereas in Jnana, you know, they have the understanding of the Brahmajyoti. So, and Ashtanga Yoga also has the understanding of Paramatma. So, it's a continuous line to go from Karma Yoga to Ashtanga Yoga. That is what Krishna advises. But some people from Karma Yoga, they go to Jnana Yoga. So this path usually is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. Understand? But when we say a jnani is actually a person who distinguishes between his body and himself, the soul. A jnani can practice Ashtanga Yoga, a jnani can even sometimes the karma yogis, they become jnani. They understand, they get that realization, the purification of the consciousness. So is it clear?
Jnani is the common term.
Jnani means one who knows the distinction between matter and spirit. And that realization is the fruit of karma yoga. One who follows karma yoga comes to the point of jnana. So the devotee, one who has taken the path of devotional service, is superior to the jnani who just knows I am not this body. The devotee knows I am not this body and I am a servant of Krishna. There is another person, not just me. There is another person. That's the supreme person. And he understands the relationship. He has sambandha jnana. Right? The jnani doesn't have any sambandha jnana. He doesn't understand the relationship. He only knows I am not this body. It is negative knowledge. I am not this body. Aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. They chant this mantra. I am the soul, I am the Brahman, I am the Brahman. But if I am the Brahman, then I have no relationship with Brahman. Mm. Right? So the sambandha jnana is missing in the jnana. And as well as the abhideya, how to connect. Number one, you don't know there is another person, so you don't have any relationship. And you don't know the science of building that relationship because you don't believe in it. And you don't have the ultimate goal, which is to attain the lotus feet of that person. So this sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, this is the knowledge that the devotee has, which is not with the jnana. So a devotee is superior to all others. Karmis, jnanis, vikarmis, is superior to all the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. So what is the distinction here? He has reached the prayojana. We said there are two stages of bhakti, or two kinds of bhakti. One is sadhana and one is sadhya. So, the prema bhakta is one who has perfected. So the perfected devotee is superior to the sadhaka, who is just trying to elevate himself. That's logical. Right? Then we go further. The gopis, so that's amongst all the prema bhaktas. So who are the prema, what, how many kinds of prema bhaktas are there? Right. Those who are Natsalya Prem, Sakya Prem, Madhurya Prem, Dasya Bhav, all that. So amongst all those who have attained Krishna Prem, which can be attained in different rasas, so then it says the gopis are exalted. This is the Madhurya Rasa. So the Madhurya Krishna Premis, the Madhurya Krishna Prem devotees, they are the most exalted of all the Krishna Prem devotees. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental counterpoint. And the other devotees who are in Krishna Prem, they are also dependent. But the dependence of the gopis is extreme. As compared to the others, it is extreme. There is not a single iota of time, a fraction of a moment when they are not there to please him. They never think about themselves. So you would say, wow, so the most exalted devotees are those who are serving Krishna in this beautiful gopi body. Gopi form in that mood of sweet love. But then there is more. Amongst the gopis, and there are many kinds of gopis, there is left wing, there is right wing, you know, different groups. Yes. There is Chandravali and all her sakis. But out of all those leaders of various groups of the devotees, So Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. So what is the superiority here? What is the superiority which is talked about?
It's love for Krishna.
Love for Krishna or no? It's good, but it's love from Krishna. Who Krishna loves most? He loves most Srimati Radharani. Second, he loves most all the gopis. And third, he loves most all the devotees who love him. And next, he loves all the sadhakas. And next, he loves the jnanis also. And next, he loves the karmis, isn't it there? And next, Krishna loves everyone. Okay. But some people he loves. What does it mean he loves more?
The intimate relationship.
Yes, he is more intimate. So with the Vikarmi, Krishna is far away. He doesn't even tell them anything. You know, when you are a good karmi doing your sand notification, sometimes within the heart, if you're going to do something wrong, Krishna, in the form of the Paramatma, he said, hey, not like that, don't do this. The conscience, the heart. So that is his love. Letting you direct is not like, sometimes you know it's wrong. So that is the conscience that is indicating, giving that direction. This is wrong, don't do it. But he does not interfere. Okay? But with the Vikarmis, those who are slaughtering poor animals, who are killing people, who are harassing, who are destroying the world, they don't hear this voice anymore in their mind. Because they have denied that voice too many times. The voice came and said, don't do this, and they did it. Then another time he said, don't do this, and they did it. And he said, don't do this, and they did it. So after some time, the consciousness becomes so covered by tamas that the soul cannot perceive any messages from the super soul. Sometimes it is said criminals have no conscience. You know? Criminals have no conscience. No sense of what is good and what is bad. They have no sense. And this is what the age of Kali is creating. It's people like this, vikarmis, sinners, who have no sense of what is right and what is wrong. How are they created? From childhood, through the one-eyed demon. You know the one-eyed demon? The TV. Apparently there is something written in the Quran which says that there is a certain age, this is the age where we are, in which everybody is serving the one-eyed demon. Everybody sits around him, listens from him, and does everything he says. So this has been identified as the television.
Television.
The television. All the people sit around the television from childhood. Any child, any person who sits in front of the television from childhood, 2 years, 3 years, anyone who does that will have no sense of what is right and what is wrong. Why? Because when you look at the TV, everything is presented on an equal platform, more or less. Sometimes the hero is a criminal, the hero is a horrible thief. The heroes are all tortured. They are all not following the regulative principles. I mean, the best of the heroes is like the romantic movies and all these. That's the best of the heroes. So they are all sinners. The heroes are sinners. So to actually understand what is dharma and what is adharma, it will take a lot of hearing to actually get it, that there is something like dharma and adharma. Dharma means the correct thing, harmonious. It's harmonious with the inharmonious. harmony with the universe, in harmony with the Creator. That is dharma. And adharma means total disharmony. You are creating a chaos, and you'll be punished for it. But when we grow in those, you know, in front of a TV, in the modern society, the sense of dharma is taken away. We do not know. You go to school, everyone smokes. Terrible stories of the people in this age. Prabhupada talks in the purport a lot about the big armies and the karmis. Hopeless cases. I remember when I was young, I had, unfortunately, it was a family member. Yeah. One little girl. Imagine, one little girl. A nice little girl. She was a little naughty. Many children are naughty. So she was, because of her naughtiness, so she was going to school. By the age of 10, the parents found the cigarettes and the smell of cigarettes in her clothes. By the age of 10, she was smoking cigarettes. Where did she learn? She didn't learn from the father and mother, she learned in the school. That's why Prabhupada said it is slaughterhouse. It is not a school, it is a slaughterhouse. She learned in the school from other children, or maybe their parents were smoking. So, asatsanga. By the age of 10, 11, she was smoking cigarettes. By the age of 13, I discovered, because I knew this girl very well. By the age of 13, I found out one time that she was smoking drugs. 13 years old. Drug means she was smoking, what you call it? Marijuana. Hashish. Marijuana. Grass. Pot. This kind of thing. She was smoking. 13 years old. Intoxicated. By the age of 15, this is a true study, a French girl. By the age of 15, one day she was coming out of the bathroom in her bedroom at home, and the mother happened to open the door, and she saw her undressed, and she said, "Oh, you put on weight." Only in one place. By the age of 15, she was pregnant. Father and mother were actually from a good family. They were their daughter. They didn't know anything of that. Called the daughter, talked to the daughter. Father was mad. Who did this to you? Father. Who did this to you? Who is he? Give me the name. Daughter cries, looks down, and finally gives the answer. I don't know which one. Now the parents are even more in distress. It was not just an accident. It was a repeated with many people. What is this? You know. So lost. And by the time they discovered, 6 months. And of course she didn't know what to do. 15 years old. She was just trying to close her pants as tight as possible so that nobody would know. I don't know what she was thinking, what I would do later. So finally they took a flight and took her to a country where, what to do? Shame on the family. Don't know who the father is. Shame, especially shame on this good family. So they took her to a country where abortion is allowed at any time. So after 6-7 months, they removed the baby. I don't know whether it was actually destroyed, aborted, or it was just taken away from her. Anyway, came back slim, continued with her studies, more smoking, more drinking, more merrymaking. By the age of 17, boxes very proudly, Mommy, I am expecting a baby again. Mother is like, my heart. So this time you know who is the father, because by then, you know, they have seen everything. Yes, I know who is the father, but we don't want to get married. So the parents had to adjust, and somehow they tried to protect whatever is to be protected. So they gave her apartment, they gave her, you know, they met the person, they set them up in an apartment, they were living there, and this and that. And the baby was born. The baby was born, she was like 18 years old, the baby was born. She refused, of course, all this idea in the mind, wanted to live life naturally, didn't want this, didn't want that, delivered the baby at home, there were some complications, whatever. Baby was born. But shortly after the baby was born, because it was not, whatever, things were not done properly, she developed a lot of pain and this and that. And this happened like within 2 years after that, she had to be operated. At the age of 20 years old, the doctors removed all the female organs. 20 years old. Everything gone. Next news was, they discovered the so-called, not husband, but the father of the child, was a heroinoman. You know what is a heroinoman? Taking heroin, injections of hard drugs, very, very heavy drugs that make one crazy. He was not working. He was selling heroin. That's how he was making money. It was a useless thing. He would become mad once in a while when he didn't have his dose. He would steal, break into pharmacies, and that was the father of the child. So she was not that dumb, actually. So after some time, she understood he was useless. Packed her bags and went to another town, dumped that guy, found another one, set up somewhere else. Was attacked by a skin disease for several years. So like that. Kept going. Of course, the child is, you know, tortured in mind. After a few years, the father of the child commits suicide, climbs on a building, jumps when he was high in drugs. So, there is no more father for the child, never any hope of any support. And it goes on. This is life in the modern cities in Kabul. This is how it goes. This is not an exception. That person was actually fortunate to rectify herself by the age of 38. Finally got married. Got married at the age of 38. And got a job. And started working. Realized that her life had been a bit hectic. And concentrated. Somehow, this had mercy. She concentrated. Went back to studying and all that, and became a doctor. He is now practicing. But what a life! What a terrible life! So this is the unfortunate life that most of the people are living. Very terrible lives. And when one gets into this kind of lives, you know, it can go very, very far. You can kill, you can steal, you can do, you know, this abortion is actually, it is a murder. It's called garbhahatya. It is murdering the baby in the womb. So, these kind of people are very far from Krishna. Because the consciousness is covered. And they don't want to be controlled by anyone. They don't want. So this hierarchy is like the further away from Krishna and the closest to Krishna. The closest and dearest. And he it's not that the Vikaris are not dear to Krishna, because every soul is dear to Krishna. He keeps loving, and the way he loves is by sending his messengers, by descending himself, sending his holy name, sending the scriptures. This is his love. But those who are not picking it up, somehow they are cut off from this love. And their life is as per what is described in the Ishopanishad, apurna. It is incomplete life, of total and continuous dissatisfaction. So this is the hierarchy here, and how Krishna stays, you know, Krishna is either closer or further from these different personalities. In the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, the jnani is considered superior to a karmi because at least he refrains from the blind activities of sense enjoyment. This is the verdict of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a jnani may be liberated from the ignorance of the karmis, unless he comes to the platform of devotional service, he is still considered to be in ignorance. So jnanis won't like to hear that. They think they have attained knowledge, but actually they are still in ignorance because they have no knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God. Although one may be accepted as a jnani or one advancing knowledge, his knowledge is considered impure because he has no information of devotional service and thus neglects the direct worship of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A jnani takes to devotional service, he rapidly becomes superior to an ordinary jnani. Such an advanced person is described jnana vimukta bhakti parama. So this means that one is a jnani with a tinge of devotion. And from this one becomes a devotee with a tinge of jnana. And finally one becomes a devotee, pure devotee, free, jnana karma janavrita, free from all the sin. So this is the gradual purification that happens. Karmi, then you become a jnani, then you somehow, if you are fortunate, your jnana becomes tinged with a little devotion. And then you become a devotee, but because your background is jnana, you are still contaminated with some jnana. And as you continue practicing, then this contamination of jnana goes away. And then one becomes a jnani, which is what Krishna says, bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvam sarmahatma sudurlabha. After many birth and death, you is actually knowledge, surrenders unto you. Next, some more details Prabhupada is giving, because otherwise in the text it's from jnani to devotee. Prabhupada is giving, he has given the details now, that it's from this jnani, it goes to jnani mixed with devotion, then it becomes a devotee, tinged with jnana, then it becomes a devotee. And then after taking to devotional service under the regulative principles, a person may come to the platform of spontaneous love of Godhead, following in the footsteps of great devotees like Narada and Sanaka and Sanatana. So what is it said here?
You have to follow regular principles.
What is this following regular principles?
Sadhana.
Sadhana.
Vaidhi.
So, initially the devotee is a Vaidhi Sadhaka. Vaidhi Sadhaka. And then, what does he say? After following the regulative principle, practicing Vedic Bhakti, a person may, notice the word may, not everyone, may come to the spontaneous platform, what is this? Raganuga Sadhaka. So, again, Prabhupada is continuing to give the hierarchy. Amongst the devotees, the Vedic Sadhaka is inferior to the Raganuga Sadhaka. It goes, you know, he's a little more advanced in this context here of developing Krishna training in the wake of the Goloka Vasis. So we go from Vedi Bhakti to Raghunanda. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead then recognizes him to be superior, the Raghunanda Bhakta. The devotees who have developed love of Godhead are certainly in an exalted position. So higher than the Raghunanda Bhakta is the Prema Bhakta. And then, amongst those, the gopis are recognized as superior because they do not know anything other than satisfying Krishna. Nor do the gopis expect any return from Krishna. Ashlishyavam padaratam pinastunam adarsanam parmamatam karotuvam yatha tatha va gudatha tunam pato matrananasasu sa evana param. This is the philosophy of the Buddha. Whether you favor me with your embrace to make me happy, you shower your love onto me, or whether you ignore me and you throw me away, still you are my life and soul. No one else. No one else. And because of that dependence of the Prema Bhakta, especially the gopis, Krishna never leaves that. There was the story, very mundane story of the wife of, Gandhi. How many of you spend? Do you know that story?
Yeah, I
read it. That somehow they were having this quarrels, Gandhi and his wife. So they were having quarrels. And one day he got so upset, he just sent her out. He kicked her out. Now that was many years ago, It was, in the beginning of the 19th? So that time in India, the society was very strict. So he blasted the wife and he said, get out of here, go and never come back. I don't want you anymore in my house. This is very heavy. Especially for an Indian wife. It's extremely heavy. Get out of here, don't want to see you again. So very submissively, she goes out of the door. He closes the door, locks the door, she's out. So before the night comes, he hears on the door. Doesn't answer. Yes! Who is it? No answer. Who is it? No answer. Who is it? Then she starts. That's me. I told you not to come back. Still angry. I told you not to come back. You go before. I told you not to come back. As far as I'm concerned, you are not here. Go. So silence for some time. Then after some time. So he gets very angry. What do you want? Then she answers,
I want your wife to go.
I have nowhere to go. Then he opens. Okay, come on. This is the gopis. They have nowhere to go. Absolutely nowhere to go. That is not in their programming. Then they will go somewhere else. Take someone else's shelter. Love someone else, do rasanets with someone else, not in their program. They are fully dependent on Krishna. So therefore, and what is one of the specific aspects of the gopis? How do they serve Krishna mostly?
They expect nothing in return.
They expect nothing, and what is returned for? Huh? Submissively, yes. Huh? Cooperation? Separation. Yes, that is what he said. There are two kinds of love. One is Sambandha Prem and the other one is Vipralamba Prem. So there is the love in union and there is the love in separation. And the gopis are expert at the love in separation, which is considered to be the highest love and the highest experience. How are the gopis in separation? But as far as the pastimes are concerned, in Vrindavan, they spend only a few years. Krishna, it is said, was on this planet for 125 years. And how long did he spend with the gopis? 11 years. That's all. So for 11 years they had Krishna's association, and for 110 something years they lived in separation. But Prabhupada explains, in this separation, when there is separation from the beloved, the remembrance of the beloved becomes so strong that it is actually more powerful than the experience of being with, physically close to the beloved. The union becomes more intensified in separation. And Radharani, who is the topmost gopi, she feels separation even when Krishna is next to her. Yeah. This is the proof of the topmost love. What is the topmost love? I miss you even when you are here. That is the topmost love. Why is that? Is that Krishna is there, but somehow she is absorbed and she feels that she is afraid that he will not be here. She starts feeling separation because there is so much attachment, so much love, that you are afraid to lose it at every moment. So this love, Vipralamba Seva, thinking of Krishna in separation. And for us this is a very, it's such a high level of love, Prabhupada says, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is Krishna himself, and he appeared to experience this, the feelings of Radharani. When she meets him, and when she feels separation from him, her happiness, the kind of love, the kind of feelings that she experiences, he wants to know that. And for us, this service in separation, this is very much the mood that we follow. It's not said here by chance, that mood, Vipralamba Seva. Because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is what they practice, Vipralamba Seva. And the service in separation. And truly, it is the only service, the only love available to us in this world. Because we are separated from it. We are yet to be reunited with him. So therefore, we follow in the footsteps of the gopis in Vipralamba prayer. That sense of separation of Krishna, which means when there is separation, there is an acute longing to be united. And this was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this acute longing to be reunited with Krishna. This is the meaning of the Ratha Yatra, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan so that there can be association with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami gradually concludes that Srimati Radharani is the most exalted devotee of Krishna, and that her kunda, the lake, Sri Radha Kunda, is the most exalted place. This is verified in a quotation from Lagu Bhagavatamrita, which is compiled by Rupa Goswami himself, and is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yatha Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya kunda priyam tata sarva gopish seveka Vishnu ratyanta vallabha. Just as Srimati Radharani is dear to the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu, so her bathing place Radhakund is equally dear to Krishna. Among all the gopis, she alone stands supreme as the Lord most beloved. So Radhakund means it's a place very dear to Krishna. It means Krishna is present there. Krishna is thinking of Radhakund. Krishna is meditating on Radhakund. Krishna is hovering around Radhakund. Krishna never leaves Radhakund. Because that place is the most dear place to him. As dear as Radharani herself. Huh? those who have experience of love in this world, they can understand these words. If some people like husband and wife, let's say, to be very loving, they met somewhere in a place, they will always remember that place. This is the place where we met. They will say that. This is the place where we met. And then you remember the place and you love that place. Why? Because it is connected to the love for the person. It's connected to the association with the person. So Krishna loves Radha Kund. Therefore, this is the conclusion of the purport, everyone interested in Krishna consciousness should ultimately take shelter of Radha Kund. What means ultimately? In the end. Sooner or later, in due course of time, when one is ready, one should take shelter of Radha Kund. It's not an option. Ultimately, one should take shelter of Radha Kund and execute devotional service there throughout one's life. This is the conclusion of Rupa Goswami in the 10th verse of Upadeshana. Now let us go to the next one. Krishna syoche pralayama sati preyati dhoti radha kundam chasya muni virakta sati eva nirhani yat prashera vyama sudhavam kim punar bhakti bhajam tat preyatam sati lakshara snatura nishtaruti. Of the many objects of favorite delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajagopi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kun is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. What is said in this verse? The conclusion is the same in the three verses. What the three verses are saying? Radha Kund. It is pointing at Radha Kund. It's pointing at Radha Kund. And service rendered in Radha Kund. All the three verses. Because this is the place of Srimati Radharani, who happens to be the internal potency of Krishna and the guide of all the devotees in the wake of the gopis. So, but now some more information is given about Radha Kund. Why is it so good for the devotees to go to Radha Kund? It belongs to Radha Kund, yeah. What is to be done in Radha Kund? One bathes in the transcendental waters of Radha Kund. It has the power, that kund has the power to bestow Krishna prema, love of Krishna, fully. If you read between the lines, of course it's beneficial for everyone, and as they say, ultimately, there will be a result in the end that ultimately we will be attracted to Radha Kund. So if one bathes in Radha Kund, here it says the love for Krishna is fully aroused. But before that it says that undoubtedly Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. So it is not a cheap thing. It requires great sincerity It requires great purity. It requires great eagerness. And it requires lots of blessings to elevate oneself to these levels of loving God. And the idea is that the persons who are most benefited by the association of Radhakund are the Bhava-bhaktas. Those who are already very pure, very elevated. They already have the bud of Krishna praying in their heart. They have a little glimpse of Krishna and a little glimpse of love of Krishna. And for them, when they bathe in Radhakund, then this little glimpse becomes a full vision. This little bud, ray of love of Krishna becomes completely manifest as a sun. So, in other words, this sadhana on the banks of Radhakund is meant for the advanced devotees mostly. Let us read this purport. It is very important purport and quite two points. And you know, you can count how many times Krishna Prabhupada is saying, bathe in Radhakund, bathe in Radhakund, bathe in Radhakund. At least 7 times, if I remember that, he's saying that in the purport. Why is Radhakund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radhakund, is also described by great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Krishna's love for Radhakund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of daily bhakti. What does it say here?
If you
have
great personalities, what about
great personalities, it can also mean great personalities, they are very great, they are very great devotees, but they are not in this mood. They may be Vaikuntha Bhaktas, they don't attain that, because they are not in the mood of the devotees, although they are very great devotees. And ordinary devotees, who are they? It's the Vedi Sadhaka. Those who are inside the Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. Beginners in Krishna consciousness. For them it is rare to end up in Radhakund. And even having gone there, it is rare that they can actually take full advantage. Because what they will do in Radhakund, the same thing that they do anywhere else. They will go and chant some rounds with an inattentive mind. Whatever sadhana they have anywhere, they will also do that sadhana in Radhakund. So it is not going to give any question. There's a question?
Yes. I think you've explained enough.
Okay.
The idea of attaining Radhakund, what is the meaning of
that? It is stated that the devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes a bath in Radhakund. It is written here. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is immediately aroused. So the question is, how many have taken bath in Radhakund? Quite a few. So how is your Krishna praying? It is well? So why no development of love of God, no apparent development of love of God after bathing once, twice, 10 times in Radhakund? Right? Why? What is the explanation here?
Like I already said, whatever is your sadhana, if you do the same over there, you will not get the same benefit.
Because we were not practicing the right kind of sadhana. What was our sadhana? Vedic sadhana. Vedic sadhana. So for example, we made sure that we paid obeisances. We made sure we didn't put our feet first, and if we didn't know, we put our feet first. And, you know, we felt the coolness of the thing, and we splashed a little bit, and we put our japa beans inside the water, and like that, you know, we chanted our gayatri in the water. We did some things like that. That's what we did. So one thing is, we were not practicing the right kind of sadhana. So therefore, we didn't get the result. Huh? What else could it be? Because it says here, you bathe once, you will get one of God. So any other explanations? Yes?
We did some offense.
Or maybe we committed some offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We committed some offense. We went to take bath in Radhakund and all that, and you know, after finishing our bath, we went on the parikrama path and said, Radharani ki jai Maharani ki jai, Varsanhevani ki jai jai jai. The mood was a little different. So, and what else?
After following all the others, the same verse, because you take the same weekend.
Yes, you should follow verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Understand 9 and 10. And then there will be a result in taking back from Radhakund. Yes, good. What else?
Rupa Sai in one conversation, you know. Like Ramadan Goswami, person who won't take back, we should have Vairagya like Ramadan Goswami. He must make thousands of senses. He was chanting.
Right. You jump like a monkey. Yes. So, yes. See the sadhana of the great devotees. 3,000 obeisances per day. Chanting all day.
Follow the first shloka and
you'll find anything else? Yes.
I think it's like to have this motion. And also to practice the service for the people and to the time that we purify and gradually we can attain it is not a magic automatic.
It's not magic automatic like this. One should
process,
one should continue the process and one should serve Radhakund. We will talk about this more. One should serve Radhakund. This is actually what Prabhupada says in the very end of the purport. We should serve Radhakund. Yes. Anything else?
One should not complete the Radhakund has someone said. Very good that even like Nityananda also not taken bath in the Radhakund. And it's many acharyas, they have not taken bath.
Yes. They are actually showing the example, keeping people wary of it. Yes. It's like walking on Govardhan. Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't walk on Govardhan. When you go to Govardhan, you see so many cowherds, boys, girls. They are walking on Govardhan. The Vallabh Sampradaya, they are walking on Govardhan. But the Gaudiyas don't walk on Govardhan. Mahaprabhu did not walk on Govardhan. Because we worship Govardhan, we can't walk on Govardhan. Yes. So Radhakund is the most worshipable place. We don't put our dirty feet inside. So some other things. One thing we also hear is that when it says one's pure love of God is fully aroused, and Prabhupada says here, what did he say? One will at once develop pure God of Krishna. So, this at once is not from the material point of view. It's from the eternal point of view. It's from the eternal point of view, which means that we have been in this material world for eons, for so many, many trillions of years. So when it says immediately, it means
gradually.
It means very soon. From that point of view, of us being here for trillions of lifetime, it means you will get love of God. Obviously you bathe, you will get love of God, but not like now. It may take one more life, two more lives, something, or a few more years. Let's be hopeful. So not in proper mood. And remember we said Because what it says here is there is a Prakrita Bhava. The one who bathes there with Aprakrita Bhava, with transcendental mood. One who has the mood of the gopis, one who has attained that kind of consciousness, when he takes bath there, he actually takes bath in Radhakund, but which Radhakund? Aprakrita. Not this one that you see there. Not this one. He takes bath in the... He enters with his body, maybe in Radhakund, or he thinks of Radhakund. And what he does, we said that with this Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan, is covered by a very thin film of material energy, which keeps away all the non-believers. It keeps away all the neophyte devotees. It's a protection. So, the devotee who is very advanced in Bhavati, what happens to him? That he is able to go through this mayic covering of Vrindavan. And he is able to actually enter the spiritual world. And there he goes to Radhakund. And it's his transcendental body. He takes bath in Radhakund. So there are different levels of understanding of this taking bath in Radhakund. Aprakrita Bhava. It means in the Swarup. He's taking bath in Radhakund, not in the material body. Because you heard also, Tishkan Vraje means either you are physically here or you are not physically here. So even if he is not here, he can remember Radhakund and he can enter Radhakund. So the way to enter there is to actually have developed the transcendental consciousness that can give us perception of the unmanifest. It's a perception. One has to perceive beyond the covering of material nature. One can perceive that because he is at the Vasudev stage, he is beyond the three gunas, his consciousness is transcendental, he is full of Krishna frame. So for him there is no matter, he just goes, enters the spiritual world. Another meaning we can derive from this immediately when develops the love of God is that imperceptibly we are progressing towards the goal. There is certainly a benefit taking part in that. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radhakund, he should at least take a bath in the lake as many times as possible. Next, this is the most important item in the execution of devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this connection that Sri Radhakund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends, sakis, and confidential serving maids, the manjaris of Srimati Radharani. So two kinds of intimate associates of Krishna here. Who are these? The sakis and the manjaris. Usually it is understood that the sakis have a very direct connection with Krishna. They have a very direct relationship with Krishna. Whereas the manjaris, they serve around. They have one advantage over the gopis. The gopis have a direct connection with Krishna. But when it's their turn. But the manjaris, they are always there. So they witness all the pastimes of Krishna. They assist in all the pastimes of Krishna. And the manjari bhav is such, they do not have a personal desire to directly serve Krishna. They serve Radha and Krishna. And they are constantly around. Whatever may be happening, they are always there. And sometimes they are very naughty, they hide behind the bushes. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Golok Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, Siddha, Deha, should leave at Radhakund, take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha. So whose shelter now is becoming more precise, Prabhupada is explaining. Whose shelter? The Mantra's shelter. First we heard of the gopis. Now there is distinction between the gopis. Some are gopis and some are mandaris. So one should take shelter of the mandaris. The confidential serving maids, this is our line, it is called. This is our guru parampara. This is the mood of our sampradaya. They should take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha. Under their direction, engage constantly in her service. So, the direction of the mandaris is not something that the Vedi Bhakta gets. In the sense, first there has to be transcendental perception of these mandaris. So when the transcendental perception is open, then the contact can be made and then the guidance can be obtained. Right? Of course, sometimes it can come in dreams or something. Out of mercy. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narada and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to come to Radhakund to take their bath. What then? To speak of ordinary devotees. If by great fortune, so now some devotees at this stage, I remember some previous class, so there is no hope for me. Devotees started crying. So there is no hope. What is the hope? I'm a prakriti mukta, materialistic devotees. I still have all these material desires. I can't perfect my sadhana. So what is the hope? What is the use? What is the hope? How long will it take? This looks so beautiful. Coming in touch with the devotees and the mantras. But then, what to speak of ordinary devotees like me? Very rare. Cannot attain. Should we become depressed like that?
No.
What is depression? You remember? Frustrated arrogance. Frustrated arrogance. We become depressed because we are not as great as we think we are or we thought we were. So there is no place for this. In the Krishna consciousness movement, there is only humble service. It's by humble service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission that we have a hope to one day somehow approach this realm. It is very far away. If by great fortune one gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna exactly as the gopis did. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radhakund and should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. So what should we do if one lives in Radhakund?
Loving service of the Lord.
Should be absorbed. You remember the definition of absorption? It is the second stage of Smarandasha. So one should be absorbed, one should have attained that kind of state that you can actually close down everything and just absorb yourself in chanting. And again, this has to be done under the direction of the spiritual master. And the guidance one undergoes, one starts this kind of thing. Not whimsical. One should base their, she's again and again, it's repeated, one should base their regularly. That's for one who lives there. One should bathe there regularly. When you go to Radhakund, this is part of the sadhana there. I don't know, we did not take you to some places there. There is one place where I sometimes go there to spend a little time chanting. There is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Jiva Goswami. It's a very quiet place, very nice. Radha Damodara, with deities are there. So there is one Baba who takes care of the temple. He's quite old by now. He does all the services. All the services. One time he invited me, because he feeds prasada, and there were so many monkeys. So he took me inside the little room where he stays, so I could take prasada peacefully. So I entered there. There was not one place to put my foot. I didn't know where to put my feet. It was so full. The first room was big, like a little corner here, and it was a kitchen because he cooks for the deities. So it's the deities' kitchen. So it was just a little slab and kitchen, and no running water. There's a pump outside. And just, you know, and full of boga, different things, and all. So he made some room, and I just sat there next to the door, and he gave me prasada too. Then I peeped through the door. There was a door with another room there, little bigger, like big like the rest of the room here like this. And I look inside, it's there. It's storage. It's boga, whatever donations the people bring, bags of rice, bags of dal, grain, oh, it's just storage, with many rats running around. And in the middle of the storage there was one, like, mat, eaten by the rats. A small mat like this, that's his sleeping place, in the middle of the storage. So living there. So from morning to night, doing the seva. Waking up the deities, bathing the deities, offering our tea, cooking several times a day for the deities, cleaning the pots, pumping the water from the pump. And as soon as wake up, direction, Radhakund. There's no bathroom around or something, you know, attached. Neither attached nor detached. That's okay, you can go to the fields, do your morning business, and then direction, Radhakund. And he comes back in his wet gamsha, changes gamsha, and then seva. And then in the afternoon, after the offering, he serves whoever is there. After working the whole morning, he serves whoever is there, please sit down. And he feeds. He serves everything that he has cooked. He always cooks lots. And then he serves. Then it says you go wash there. As soon as you get up, he cleans everything. Then he goes and takes a little nap in his little storage room with the rats. So he takes a little nap. And then around 4 o'clock, he comes out, direction?
Radhakund.
Comes back in his wet gamsha. Puts on his tilak, back in the deity room. And again, cutting fruit, again offering. And if there is a little time, he sits down and reads. Next to the altar is piles of books that are as old as him, I guess. Or more. Piles of books. And he sits in the middle of the piles of books and he reads. And anyone who comes gets fed. Not just humans. The cow gets, he's sitting reading a cow. So he has a box full of grain. Cow. After some time, bird is coming. Okay, now he has another box. Bird. After some time, squirrel is coming. Okay, he has another box. This is for the squirrel. After some time, monkey is coming. And then he's closing something. All day. And then late in the evening, then 1, 2, 3 hours rest, and then direction. I have seen at least 3 times a day he takes bath in there. So this is this. It's part of the sadhana. So this is very beautiful. If one stays there, one should bathe there regularly. Otherwise, one would stay there, take a room with a geyser, take bath in the bathroom. Yeah, I know. It's like that. Take bath in the bathroom. So one should. One should stay there regularly. Now what is written after that? And give up all material conceptions. So this is the point, is to do this kind of thing, you have to be beyond the body. Taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. So material conception is also forget about hunger, forget about sleep, forget about this, forget about that. I think, where was it written? I think I missed something somewhere. I missed something somewhere where it was talking of Ashtakali Alila somewhere. I missed it somewhere. Because these kind of devotees, they follow not their schedule, they follow Krishna's schedule.
I'm
saying purport. Yes. Well, then will not reside at Radhakul and in a spiritual body so charged with ecstatic devotional feelings at Prakita Bhava. Render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakaliya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. So this is what they are following, that's the schedule. Eightfold pastimes of Krishna. Radha and Krishna, in the evening, they are meeting in the Kunjas, and then they wake up early morning, and they go back to their respective places, then they take bath, and so on. Krishna milks the cows, then you take breakfast. Then after some time, Krishna goes out to the forest. He plays. Then around midday, again he escapes the Sakas. He goes back with Radharani. Especially in Radhakund, he has several places where he goes. And Radhakund is one place. The midday pastime, at least 3 hours, Krishna is with Radharani. He's in Radhakund. And then he goes back a little bit more cow herding, feeling hungry, going back home. Then he's arrived, he's received, and then again he takes bath, again he meets the cows, and then he takes his evening dinner, and then there is the entertainment, watching dancers, singers, all these sitting with Nanda Baba and all the elders. And then Yashoda Mai says, time for sleeping, Lala. And then she takes him, makes him sleep, she thinks he's asleep. As soon as she leaves, he's awake, jumps out of the window and goes into the forest. Right? So those advanced devotees, they are meditating on these pastimes, which means they are awake in the night, because these are the most important pastimes are in the night. So they are awake in the night. Let us conclude here. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radhakund. So, means being in Radhakund, meditating on the pastimes of Krishna, completely detached from the gross and subtle bodies. So, by this practice, at the end of life, one returns to the spiritual realm. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of the Radhakund and to bathe there daily constitutes the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain, even for great sages and devotees like Narada. Thus, there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radhakund. By serving Radhakund, one can get an opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the Lord. So the key word is given here. What is the key word? Service. That is the essential mood of the Raganuga Sadhaka. It's not that you can get crashed into the spiritual world to taste the fruit from the desire trees. It's not that mood. It is service. An intense mood of service, completely devoid of selflessness. What would be some ways to serve Radhakund? Besides, if we are not at that level, what can we do to serve Radhakund? You can preach about Radhakund, bring everybody to Radhakund, all the practice of Radhakund. You can clean the kund, yes. What else? What can we do to serve Radhakund?
Try to educate people to get in this kind of mood before they go into some.
Educate the people about the greatness of Radhakund as we understand it from Upadeshamrita. Yes? And?
Can clean Radhakund.
Clean, yeah, that's what he said. You can clean Radhakund.
You
can do some kirtan in Radhakund.
Flowers and trees.
Flowers and trees, what? You can plant. Oh, yeah. Okay, you can plant flowers, trees.
So we should serve the Babaji, we should serve the devotees of
do a little service for those who are genuinely living there, who seem to be genuine people. You can serve them, do something for them. Yeah.
We can hear from the exalted person.
We can hear, yeah, very good. When we go there, we hear. But remember that hearing is done in Guru Parampara, not just here anywhere. Yes. And? We can sing the glories of Radhakund. We can chant the glories of Radhakund. Prayers to Radhakund. We can offer flowers to Radhakund. We can offer our tea to Radhakund. We can do parikrama of Radhakund. There is also serving Radhakund. We do the parikrama. So, in this way, we have had our overview of this Upadeshamrita. Thank you very much for your attentive participation. So what?
Last 3 words.
Stressing Radhakund is that we need to obtain the mercy of Srimati Radharani. We need to obtain the mercy of the internal potency. And as far as manifestation in this world, Radhakund is the manifestation of Radha. So Radharani is difficult to attain, but Radhakund is just there. So it is a way to access Srimati Radharani. To do service in Radhakund, to be with Radhakund. And what was exactly the question you were asking? The swarup of what? Yes. Yes, so this is why he stresses Radhakund, it's because we are supposed to develop, this is what Mahaprabhu came to give. This rasa, or Madhurya rasa, And as we hear that this Radhakund is the place of material rasa. So therefore, we are stressing that most holy place. And because of its connection to Srimati Radharani, very dear to her, means if we do something in Radhakund for Radhakund, immediately it is for her. She will take it as her own service. So it's a way to access, to please Srimati Radharani. And we want the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Shelter of Srimati Radharani means the internal potency of Krishna. We want to come under that shelter. So Radhakund is like a gate to attain the service of Radha. Last question, and we close. Yes? No, it doesn't say that. She's asking why Narada Muni cannot attain pure devotional service. It doesn't say that. It says he cannot attain Radhakund. Narada Muni is in a different bhava. He's a Vaikuntha Bhakta. He's different, he has a different mood. He teaches devotional service, pure devotional service. But he's not exactly that. There are pastimes of Narada Muni trying to enter that mood. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.